Good morning. Good to see you this morning. I noticed that the youth group has decided to sit down up here closer, which is great because this is just for you guys this morning. No, I'm just kidding. Jason did say that it'd be easier for them, a lot closer for them to come forward after the lesson, sitting up closer. So maybe that's what it is. Grateful to be here this morning. Grateful to you for being here with us. I just want to say, as I'm expressing my gratefulness, that I'm grateful to Lexi Brill. Just as a reminder, she is going to be taking pictures afterwards over here on this side of the auditorium. If you or you and your family would like to have your picture made for our online directory, and you don't have one of those or you don't have a recent one of those, you can see her over on that side of the room at the end of service, and she would be happy to take your picture. She does a wonderful job. Recently, she took family photos of our family. We knew she was doing it. She took family photos, and she did a great job. That day, she got our photos back to us, and we enjoyed that experience. I'm grateful to Lexi for doing that. She asked if she could share on her Facebook page, as she's trying to get sort of a business started, just a picture of our session to kind of show people what she was doing. I was like, yeah, that's great. So I go in there, and I look, and I see that she's got there. I was like, oh, that's nice. That's wonderful. And then she wrote on there, "I'm obsessed with this family's session." I was like, I don't know how I feel about the obsessed part. Maybe all of a sudden I'm like not so sure about that. Started feeling a little uncomfortable with the situation. And then I realized as I scrolled on through Lexi's page that she's also obsessed with her husband, and she's obsessed with her kids, and she's obsessed about quite a few things. And so then it sort of dawned on me, oh, okay, so this is just, I'm not quite with the times. We are now able to use the word obsessed as a positive thing, right? To be obsessed with something can be a good thing. Typically, we seem to use that word to mean something negative, but I actually kind of like the idea of using this word in a positive sense. Here is a definition of the word obsessed: preoccupy or to fill the mind of someone continually and intrusively. I kind of like that idea, to be obsessed, if we're talking about something good. And it's a word or it's an idea that I wanted us to use or to try to think about what we're talking about this morning as we come to Philippians chapter 3. There's one other idea that I want us to have in our minds as we think about what Paul has to communicate, not only to his readers then, but to us today. So I get, around this time of year, I begin to get obsessed with playing golf. It's hard not to. We live right there across from the Payne Stewart, and I just sit there every morning drinking coffee, looking at everybody enjoying themselves out there. And so once we moved, I started wanting to learn to play again. I started wanting to get back into the swing of things. And I don't know about you, but what I do when I'm trying to learn something new is I go to YouTube and I start looking at videos of people who have done this before or who teach it. And I discovered that at least there are two basic approaches to doing this. There's one approach that is the technical approach. And I was amazed at how long they could make videos over the simplest things. So like one was 30 minutes only on and what they would call your relation to the ball. And I was like, you have relationship with the ball? Like, hey, ball, how are you doing? But it was how far away you stand from it and how you should approach it and where it should be as you stand there and look at it. And then it was like how much percentage of weight should be on your left or your right. I'm like, so you got to get scales out. And actually, I got 50% here, 50% here. And then how your stance should be and how you should hold the club. And this is all just before you do anything. And then there's videos about like how you take the club away and what the degree of arc should be as the club travels around and how much your flex you should have. And then when you come, what the club should be doing as it makes contact with the ball and how much of the ground. And it's just a lot. You may ask yourself, why would anyone do this? Well, I don't run, as you can tell, so I have to have other hobbies. But there's all this different information. It's very technical. It breaks down the game in very specific sort of detailed kinds of ways. And I found that to be very useful as I, you know, just kind of getting back into it, useful to kind of learn and take in all of this and learn all these different parts and pieces of it. But then what I found was, is when I went out to actually try to play, I had all of that stuff rattling around in my head. I couldn't really maybe keep all of it straight. And I knew all of the things, and I was trying to think about all the things, but I couldn't actually play very well. And so then I started looking for, so how do I take all of that knowledge, and how do I put that into practice? Well, I found someone else that explained how to play the game more based on visualization and how it should feel. And he talked a lot more about, imagine you're throwing a frisbee and how that looks. Or imagine how you're throwing a ball. If you think about distance, you know, if I'm throwing a ball to Braden here, I don't calculate distance and I don't, all this stuff. I just toss it to him, right? I just throw him the ball. And he kind of talked about that. Visualize where you want it to be. Visualize where you're going to end up. And allow your body to do what it knows it's supposed to do. Kind of like once you have all the knowledge, once you have all the stuff in your head, then just keep your eyes focused on where you are supposed to go and allow your body to take you where it needs to be. Now, you can kind of see what I'm doing here, I hope, with this metaphor, right? So I want us to keep these two things in mind. The idea of being obsessed, to preoccupy, to fill ourselves up so that there's an idea that is continually and intrusively in our minds. And it's this idea of keeping where we want to be, where we're headed, where we're going, firmly in mind. And the reason we do that, I think, is that what's what Paul has in mind. So if you would, look at Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start kind of in verse 10 and work our way down through verse 16. Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, I press on. And that's what I want us to think about. I press on. He's got a lot of stuff going on in his life right now. He's got a lot of personal circumstances that are making his life difficult. And he goes through and he talks about a lot of this stuff, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but he gets to this point, he says, but there's one thing I do. I press on, no matter what. So maybe things are going really well in life and there's a lot of good stuff happening. That's okay, I press on, right? Because regardless of the good things in my life, there is still more good to come. And sometimes we can allow the good things in our life to sort of cause us to become complacent and to just decide, okay, I've achieved what I need to achieve. I am where I need to be. I'm good. Paul says, press on. Or it may be that life isn't working out the way you want it to. Maybe your circumstances are not as good as you would hope they would have been right now. Maybe life is falling apart, falling down around you. People are letting you down. Things are going on out of your control. Paul says, press on. Press on. How do we do that? How do we press on? Paul says, I have not obtained it. What is the it that he's talking about? He keeps in mind three basic ideas in verse 10. I hope that I can know him, and I can know the power of his resurrection, and that I might share in his sufferings, and by any means necessary, attain the resurrection from the dead. And he says, not that I've already obtained this or have already become perfect. And wouldn't that be great if we could all arrive at perfection? How many of you would love to be perfect? I would love for you guys to be perfect. That would be great. I would love for me to be perfect. Paul says it's always a journey. We never arrive at where we want to be while we're here. And so we press on. So what does he do? How do we do that? He really just mentions two things. And I want you to notice the verbs that he uses here. Forgetting and straining. These suggest that there is never a moment in which it's just, okay, we did it, right? So he says, number one, forgetting. Forgetting what lies behind. It isn't, I forgot what lies behind, because we know, you know, that sometimes you try to forget something and then you turn around and it's just right there in your face. Whether it's whatever it might be. And so he says it's a continual process, forgetting what lies behind. If you think about the analogy of the race, you know, there's a lot of weird language that he uses here, and it's because he's using words that are associated with running, associated with a race. And while he's talking about this idea of forgetting what lies behind, they would have kind of understood what he meant. When you run a race, you have to stay, as we talked about this morning with our kids, you have to stay focused on what is in front of you. You have to stay focused on what's ahead. Have you ever seen one of these races, or hopefully you haven't been at one in the race where you're running, and then you look over your shoulder to see how far behind they might be, and then while you're doing that, someone passes you on this side because you take your eyes off of the goal. You take your eyes off of what you should be paying attention to. So he says we need to forget. We need to continually forget what lies behind. So what is it Paul might have in mind that he needs to continually forget? Well, number one, let's think about his personal circumstances right now. If you don't know, many of you probably do, but Paul is writing from prison. And this isn't a great and easy prison situation. This is a difficult prison situation. This isn't, you know, he's got cable and he's got 3 square meals a day. This is a hole in the ground where he is writing this letter. Not only is he in prison, but he has people who on the outside trying to make his imprisonment worse. He says in chapter 1, there are people who are actively trying to make this worse. And how are they doing that? By preaching the gospel, which seems weird, but they're doing it in Paul's name. Paul's in jail because he's been preaching the word. And it's against the law to do that. And so if others are out there preaching in Paul's name, they're basically making Paul look more like a rebellion leader. So he's in jail. He has other people trying to make it worse. And then as he continues to say, there's the possibility of his death. He talks about dying, and he doesn't know which he wants to do. If he dies, he can go be with Christ. If he remains, he can be more helpful to people around him. But maybe his health isn't bad or is poor. So he's in jail. People are trying to make it worse, and his health isn't good. And then he's writing this letter for a reason. He's writing a letter to a church that he established that is struggling. He has poured his heart and his soul into this congregation, and it's struggling, and it might be ripping itself apart from the inside. Not for any of the reasons like you might expect, like 1 Corinthians issues or other things, but because they don't know how to love each other. They don't know how to get along. They don't know how to come together in a unified way. Paul's got a lot of stuff going on in his life. And so on one hand, he says, forgetting all of that. Forgetting all of that stuff, I press on. Forgetting the trouble and the pain and the torture and all this stuff, forgetting all of that, I press on. But there's something else he talks about forgetting. He forgets all the good in his life that he could rest on to say, well, I've done what I could, I've been who I've needed to be, and now I can just, you know, I can just hang out, right? And of course, he's making a point here earlier in chapter 3 when he says, if anyone can put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day, meaning I did it when I was supposed to. Of the people of Israel, I was born into this. Of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the better tribes. A Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, meaning I was the best of the best. I've done and I've been who I've needed to be. But he says, in order to press on, I must forget, continually forget. I must keep my eyes, because that's the second thing he says, forgetting what lies behind, forgetting all of the distractions, forgetting all of my past, I strain forward toward what lies ahead. This is that language like when you're in a race and you're running and there are people all around and you're just reaching out, you're stretching out, you just, all you want is to grab hold of the prize. All you want is to cross the finish line. That's how he does it. He forgets continually what lies behind. All the stuff that could be a distraction, all the stuff that could hold him back, all the stuff that could pull him back, all the stuff that could prevent him from being the best of who he can be. And he says, and then I strain forward to what lies ahead. And we all know what that is. Because he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's a lot of words to say. I keep my eyes on the moment in which I cross the finish line. I keep my eyes focused on eternity. I keep my eyes focused on where God has called me to be. And that is how I can also forget what lies behind. I can forget my past, or I can get my worries, or I can get my troubles. That's how I am able to experience all of these things with the right mindset. Because what has Paul done while he's in prison? Just happened to convert all of his jailers and convert all the other prisoners. What does he say about those who are seeking to make his imprisonment worse? He says, it's great because at least Jesus is being preached. And it's no trouble to me, he says earlier in this, to write the same things again to you because I have my eyes on the prize. I know what all of this is all about. So rather than get caught up in the trouble of life and in the squabbles and all those things, one thing I do, I press on to where God has called me to be. I think Paul gets that that can be really difficult because all of that stuff can get in our way, right? We can get confused and we can get consumed and obsessed by the wrong sorts of things. I came across an illustration a while back that I think does a pretty good job of explaining kind of what Paul's talking about. Sorry for whoever's following me on the camera. All right, so just imagine for a second, I've got this cable here. And imagine that it just stretches out into eternity, okay? Just imagine, I mean, it ends over there, we all know that, but just imagine for a second that this just stretches off, just goes on and on and on and on and on forever, has no end. And this is a timeline of your existence, okay? This is a timeline of your existence, a timeline of my existence, and it just carries off into eternity, right? What blows me away is that so much of the time, we can become obsessed or focused or consumed by this. This represents our existence here on earth, the years we have on earth, right? We can get obsessed with just this little bit, this part. We think, you know what, if I can just work and I can just save and I can just work hard and save all through here, then I can enjoy, really enjoy just this little part of my life, right? If I can just work and do everything I can, then just this little bit, tiny little bit here, I'll enjoy, but not this last little bit because then, you know, I'll be maybe not feeling so good and can't, but I can work real hard just for this little bit. That just seems crazy, right? Because this, how we live here, determines where we spend the rest of our existence for millions and millions and millions of years on into eternity. What we do with our little bit of time here, what we're focused on here determines where we spend the rest of this. And it's crazy because sometimes if we're living right and we're focused on this, we have people who say, are you crazy? Because you're making these choices about how you're going to spend your time and what you're going to give up, and that's going to affect how you get to spend this over here. I'm like, no, you're crazy because what you do right here is going to affect everything else. How are you spending this amount of time? I mean, yeah, is it true that what happens in our lives, what's happened in my past, impacts what I do today? Yeah, of course. But there's more about my future that should impact what I do today. What I do today should be dependent more upon where I'm going to spend the rest of this. Paul says, there's one thing I do. I don't look at any of this. I don't focus on any of this. I press on toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what allows me to interpret my experiences. That's what allows me to make the choices that I need to make today, right now, because the things that I decide to do right now have more to do with where I'm going to spend out there than what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the day after that. He says, I'm thinking about the day I cross the finish line and who I'm going to bring with me. You know, when you think about this idea of being obsessed, there's someone who I've thought about that really gets it in kind of a silly example. Let me tell you about Dale Irby. Dale Irby was a man in 1973 who went to school and he took this picture. Go ahead and show it. He took this picture. The next year in 1974, he shows back up to school and he takes this picture. And then he realizes, oh my goodness, how embarrassing. I wore the exact same thing. And he went home and he told his wife, I can't believe I did that. I wore the same thing I wore last year. And she said, you know what? Embrace it. And so from 1973 until 2012, he did this. Show the next one. He decided, you know what? I'm going to own it. And every year he brought the exact same thing year after year after year for 40 years. He was obsessed with this one idea, this one thought. And even though, you know, you could tell about halfway through, he starts changing a little bit. And he was like, you know, if someone asked him about it, he's like, you know, the clothes didn't fit me anymore, but I would just bring them. I would keep them in my closet. And on picture day, I would just shove myself into them, take my photo, and go on about my business. That is a man who understands keeping his eye on the prize. We need to be people who are obsessed with where we are going, how we are going to get there, and how many we're going to bring with us. We need to spend our time right here consumed, obsessed with where we're going to spend the rest of it. That helps us understand everything, tragedy, loss, the good, the bad. When we know that what we do here is where we get to spend eternity, we can overcome a lot that way. And we can, as Paul say, press on. Let us all press on together. This morning, we want to ask you to join us in pressing on. Maybe you have yet to commit your life to the finish line, and you need to put on Christ in baptism and receive the forgiveness of your sins. We want to help you with that. Maybe it's that you have found yourself to be consumed with this, and you need help focusing your eyes on the rest. Whatever your need is this morning, we want to help each other. We want to help you. We want you to help us press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If there's anything we can help you with now or anytime, please let us know.